Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, it was back in mid-May that cyber criminals launched a crippling attack on the HSE, leading to widespread disruption. Now, officers from the Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau investigating that crime have seized several websites in a huge disruption operation. So how will this impact on the gang and how likely are they to lead to prosecutions? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Detective Chief Superintendent Paul Cleary, who's head of the Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Now, the operation began weeks ago. You've been working closely with Interpol, Europol and other international police forces. What can you tell us about how this investigation is proceeding against this particular gang involved in the HSE attack?
Well, the investigation, as you said, is ongoing for a number of weeks now and it's progressing well. We have, as you've said, launched a disruption operation, and essentially what that means is that we have been able to identify the technical infrastructure utilised by this gang suspected of being behind the HSE attack. And I suppose essentially what we did was we identified the servers, the domains, the websites, and we took them over. And what the gang would have used these for is when they are in the early stages of a potential ransomware attack, unsuspecting victims who may have clicked on an attachment would have been redirected to this infrastructure and these domains. And then at that stage, then they would have downloaded further malicious code unknowingly necessary to complete the attack. But what we have done in the Garda National Cybercrime Bureau is take over these domains. And when unsuspecting victims are redirected to these sites, they will now see what we call an alert splash screen telling them that the Irish Police and Garda Síochána have taken over these domains and that they should immediately check their IT systems and networks because they may be compromised.
Okay.
To date, we know that 753 potential new unsuspecting victims would have been redirected to the site that we had taken over and would have seen this alert screen warning them.
And those potential victims were worldwide?
All around the world, different countries, a number of different jurisdictions. And they would have seen our splash screen. And obviously, we would work very closely with our law enforcement partners around the world and also in Europol and Interpol. But I suppose in respect of the investigation itself, significant intelligence has been gathered around the infrastructure of the Conti ransomware group, including the financing of the group, the tool sets utilised, the information in respect of how they may target their victims, as well as information in relation to their interactions with the overall cyber criminal groupings. So that kind of intelligence has directed the Garda investigation and has also fed back into the wider law enforcement community internationally with both a crime prevention element like our disruption operation and as well as an investigative capacity.
So given going back to what you said about identifying the domains, identifying the servers, does that mean you know where these people are operating from?
Well, to date, we have conducted investigations in seven different countries around the world for the retrieval of evidence in connection with the investigation. Now, obviously, as it's an ongoing investigation, I won't go into the operational detail or tradecraft of those locations. But as I said, good progress has been made in that area.
So when, I'm just thinking about these potential victims that got the Garda pop-up, what action do they need to take if they might be exposed to something like this?
Well, they need to go and do a full IT security check. We will tell them that they need to get their IT security professionals in and make sure that their system is safe and not compromised. We would always tell people in relation to, you know, ransomware attacks, one of the most essential things they can have is a safe and secure backup that's separate from their network or system.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important thing. Data can be lost, but the backup should have it. The backups are only good if they're up to date, if they're stored off network in a secure location. You know, if you store them on the same system, it's like having spare keys to the safe inside the safe, you know. They should be regularly scanned for infections, as should the system itself.
And I assume these people now who you've managed to intercept their operations, they'll just go off and set up other domains.
They can, and they most likely will. But what I will say is that we have developed a good picture as to how they operate, so we will be following, as will our partners around the world. But also, they will have to start from scratch with new phishing attacks. And what we have seen, especially in the last couple of months, is that people are becoming more cyber aware, more cyber safety aware, and they might be less inclined to click on links from unknown or untrusted sources. So hopefully, you know, we have disrupted them and made it more difficult for them. But yeah, you're correct. They will go on and set up new infrastructure. But, you know, we will follow them and we'll keep going after.
I know we're getting cleverer with this, but even on an individual basis, not on a corporate basis, we all seem to be getting more text messages, more emails attempting to get into our systems, Paul, than ever before.
Absolutely. The rapidly progressing digitalisation of society, you know, it presents endless new opportunities for cyber criminals, and they do take advantage of the situation. You know, we will have all got these text messages and these phishing and smishing messages, and it is a challenge, and it is a challenge for us here in the Garda National Cybercrime Bureau. You know, we can only work effectively within our jurisdiction, and unfortunately a lot of these messages are emanating from outside the jurisdiction, so we're depending on our law enforcement partners in other countries to chase this down for us. But I think it's more than a law enforcement issue. You know, we're dealing with the telcos, the telecom operators and the messaging platforms, you know, to try and look upstream of this problem. You know, they need to be looking at proper firewalls to try and screen out these type of text messages and dangerous emails and that. So it's an ongoing, it is challenging, and you know, we have to manage expectations, and the same as we do with all cybercrime. These people are very quickly, and it's a very quickly evolving environment.
Because it's always a concern when you get a message. I'm getting about one a day now telling me about a parcel that doesn't exist, and I just know if I click on that link I'm going to be in trouble. But I'm sitting there wondering, how did this person get my number?
Well, it's social engineering in a number of different ways. Social media, or someone else who would have been infected and their contact list would have been, you know, it would have automatically been sent out to them. So it's simple enough for these gangs to do. As I said, because they're outside the jurisdiction, what we do is we will forward an intelligence package to the relevant law enforcement and hope that they will have enough to chase it down. But as I said, I do believe the telcos have a role to play here in this as well.
Okay, and that's an interesting one that we might look at again on the programme. But the very serious crime was the cyber attack on the HSE. And as a result of that, your own bureau is going to be beefed up, or is in the process of expanding.
That's right. We're in the process of an expansion effort as we speak. In April, we got 25 new sworn detectives. And they would have already had, we'd say, the likes of a master's in computer crime studies, and they've been trained up to the high standards that we need to operate at here in the Bureau. We are awaiting the allocation of another 34 sworn detectives from that list from last year, and then in addition to that, a competition hopefully will be advertised very soon for a further 20 civilian analysts. So we're basically reaching out to the IT industry, looking for experts to come in and work with us here in law enforcement. We want to lean on the skills that they have attained and train them up in our military and law enforcement tool sets.
Paul, a lot of people will be going back to the office over the next couple of weeks, but many people will opt to do a hybrid week, and they might be doing a couple of days at home and a couple of days in the office. Do you need to be careful what system you're working on from your home office?
Absolutely, Claire. The pandemic has meant that a lot more people are working from home and spending time online, and that means then that there's an increased risk to corporate data, where workers are using the remote access to their company networks from home. So we have files transferred between home and business network, and that leads to a greater risk of cross-contamination and malware infections. And it's also harder for administrators and employees to abide by network security protocols when they're sitting in their living room. So we would always say to people, you know, for businesses, as I said already, backups are essential, but people should only install updates and software from reliable sources and keep their antivirus protections current and running. Everyone should apply the patches to their systems regularly as soon as they become available. We would always say don't download or open attachments unless you know and trust the source. They are the primary source of infection or malware. We would say that strong passwords are regularly changed, are an essential element of good network security. And I suppose home and work files should be kept separate. Never mix work and home data, and use separate computers if possible. And when you're using a secure connection to work networks, you should disable the remote access when it's not in use and only use secure Wi-Fi connections. So there's a lot to take on board there.
I'd say there's a sharp intake of breath from people who might be listening and working from home, because we all do that. We all use the home PC for work if we can manage to log on, right? Most of us.
Yeah, no, I think people are becoming more cyber safety conscious and more cyber security aware. We would always say to businesses in the current environment to think of IT security as an investment, not an overhead, because a lot of them are going through a digital transformation right now as a result of the pandemic. So more so for businesses, we would ask them that you know all of your digital identities, who all the actors are in your digital ecosystem, and that's both internal and external. For people working from home, it's just being cyber aware. We would be regularly going out in media and social media with education and awareness initiatives. So people are coming round to the fact that they need to be alert, that this is an important issue.
Paul, thank you so much for your time today. Detective Chief Superintendent Paul Cleary there on the cyber crime and some eye-opening advice for all of us. Next up, over the course of the next break, think about this. Who would you choose to play you in a film adaptation of your life? Answers on a postcard to 51551.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.